Hi, Sandra. How are you? Happy almost Thanksgiving.
Good
And
morning. Good morning. Yes, I'm fine. Getting ready for Thanksgiving with my wonderful daughter, Pamela, at her place. Be a lot of fun.
that's good. That's good. And you won't have to drink heavily this time.
No, just, yeah. I might, though. Maybe a glass of vodka first.
It might be forced. All right, so and maybe that's a solution. No, not really, for our topic today, which is, so when your best employee has the worst attitude, now what?
Right. So I've had a couple of those. I mean, more than a couple. Difficult challenge because, the customers are very happy with him, the clients very happy with him, but everyone in my organization hates them, can't stand working with them because they're so obnoxious and awful to be with. But it's really a challenge because they're good with clients and good with the customers. So how do you handle it? Well, there's a very interesting article from Entrepreneur Magazine. Some views from some views from six founders who share their most successful methods on how to, on how to deal with these people with a worse attitude, but they're great with clients. So we'll go through a couple of them. So one is from Stephanie Olson, the founder of We Are Rosie. She's an entrepreneur, obviously, and she starts with, "Don't excuse it." Okay, this is an interesting question, and the way it's phrased says a lot about how we view productivity. It's all too often that we make excuses for performers who have a temperament that negatively impacts those around them. I'd approach them with a true desire to understand what's driving the bad behavior, but if it doesn't improve with the support I'm able to give, I will remove this employee. Okay? Stephanie Olson. Next, by Joanna Zelko, CEO of the Closet Trading Company. Okay. Consider the source. Identify the reason for the attitude. Maybe it's in response to his or her manager's bad attitude. In many cases, an employee may not feel comfortable or know how to deal with this kind of situation, and that unhappiness may manifest itself in a negative demeanor. It's so important to always take the opportunity to learn of gaps in our business operation. These conversations give us a glimpse into areas of improvement that we would otherwise miss. Okay. Next, Jason Riedel, co-founder and CEO of Georgiana. Okay, move on. You replace them, he says. Early on, admittedly, we tolerated productive employees who had bad attitudes, partly because the productivity was necessary to grow the company, and partly because we still felt that people were doing us a favor working for us. Small company, and which is a common feeling that founders have. But now we have zero tolerance. Productivity with a bad attitude is arguably worse than non-productivity. The negativity is measurable and can have a lasting impact. Okay. Anna Trout, co-founder and CEO of HealthAid. Her view is offer support. Have a performance-related conversation, first stating the problem with their behavior and the impact it's making on the business. Next, state the expectation of the company. Then tell them what you want for them as their manager, expressing your belief in their talent and skill. But follow up with stated consequences, then move to a plan. It's not enough to tell people to fix an issue. They may need your support. Let them know you're behind them. Now, don't necessarily agree with that, but okay, next, Steven Guttentag, co-founder of 30 Madison. Okay, dig deeper. Ask the person how she's feeling about work. Open-ended questions such as, if you could change one thing about this company, what would it be? Or if you could restructure your workday, what would it look like? this can reveal that the person is having personal issues or a communication problem with a coworker or is concerned about the direction of the company. Whatever the response, make sure to listen, he says. Close your computer, put your phone away, or get out of the office to have this conversation. It will make the next steps much clearer. Finally, John Reyman, R-E-Y-M-A-N, CEO of Spoken Wheel, Spoke and Wheel, W-E-A-L. So he says, just as we coach our hairstylist to be more productive, we have a bona fide coaching program to manage our egos, communication, and professional relationships. We require our teams to practice straightforward, positive communication regularly and in person. This sets up to manage changes in attitudes and behaviors successfully, he says. If a team member behavior slides, call the problem out respectively and clearly. If they want to stay, they'll meet you on a common ground. If not, it's over. We've lost top performers, some responsible for 20% of the income at a single location, and recover quickly. Do not negotiate with terrorists, John says. Okay, so that's kind of it from small business co-founders, co-founders of firms that are doing very, very well. So that's how a different view of how to deal with employees. Now, do we all make mistakes? Absolutely. I did. I had, you know, two people who were, one person, very productive, dealing with very good clients. Clients loved him. People could not stand him within the firm, could not stand working with him. I had to change an organization around, but I should have gotten rid of him. But I did not earlier. My mistake. And next was a woman, very good copywriter, wrote great stuff. Clients loved her work, but nobody wanted to work with her. Art directors did not want to work with her because she was so awful to them. Should I get rid of her? Should I call the clients first and let them know we need to make a change? I didn't, and we lost a couple of very good art directors who just did not want to work with us. So another mistake that I made as a CEO, which, you know, but remember, one thing we always know, you learn from failures more than success, from failures. So I learned a lot from that and didn't let it happen again, okay? If I couldn't get this employee in a productive mode, I let them go. No matter how good they were, I let them go because they were hurting the rest of the company. So that's a little bit about what do you do when your best employee has the worst attitude, okay?
How long?
You talk to them? Yeah, go on.
I'm just curious, how much recidivism are you willing to tolerate?
Well, that's a good question, Jill. You know, you're always in that mix of they're so good with clients and customers. They love them, and so it's a difficult this decision.
Yes, I mean, it's not a black and white. The thing is, we have often found it's not entirely a black and white. And
never, it's never black and white.
Sometimes it's the old one man's meat's another man's poison. You know, if you've got, I'm just curious what you do if you've got, you know, most percentage that can tolerate it, but a small percentage of the really good ones that can't. You know, and that just often it raises a host of other issues, you know. So
well, the thing you have to consider, Jill, is that, you know, these people are making issues and the problems. Nobody wants to work with them. And me as a CEO didn't do it because I was afraid of losing the client. But people now look at me, okay? Within the firm, what kind of leader are you? Why would you keep people like that? So they're looking at me as a weak CEO. You have to keep that in mind. If you don't do the right thing, your people say, what kind of boss is he? You know, I should have moved on them. I didn't, but I learned from failure. It's never happened again after that.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flaum, Leader's Edge.
Have a great Thanksgiving, Jill.
You too.